Hey there, everybody, and welcome to a special EVA branded edition. We're going to call this a Mobile Nations podcast because we've got a bunch of people from throughout the Mobile Nations here. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm on AndroidCentral.com, and we've got a couple guys over in Berlin this week at the EVA conference. Don't ask what EVA stands for. It's IFA. It stands for something.
Internationale Funkerstellung.
Yeah, that. Bless you.
I'm sure so I just butchered that.
Alex Dobie and Richard Devine, you know them from Android Central. They're over in Berlin covering this conference for us, and we had just a buku amount of tech release today. So the majority of it was Android, but there was actually a little bit of Windows Phone and Windows 8 stuff that we need to talk about. So we've got Daniel Rubino from WP Central with us as well.
It's true. Hello, folks. Glad to be here.
Yep. So we are podcasting in the daylight, which is also weird for us, or at least half of us are in the daylight. So let's just get to it.
It's still dark for us.
Yeah, we're probably not going to go full hour, so let's just crank through this. So Alex and Richard, you guys woke up today and went to Sony, right? Sony kicked it off for you?
Yeah, so we got Sony, three new phones from Sony and a new tablet. A lot of this stuff had kind of been leaked before, but the big new thing for them was the Xperia T and the Xperia TX. Both pretty similar specs, slightly different design, but the big thing with Sony is they're going back to the Arc design they had a couple of years back, or actually just 1 year back with the Xperia Arc. It's an ice cream sandwich phone, the Xperia T, so it's the Xperia TX. It looks nice. It's nothing really new in terms of software, although there is some Sony stuff on the back end. It's based around sharing stuff. You have NFC sharing now, and there's been a lot of rebranding done to tie things in with the Sony Entertainment Network. We also had a tablet from Sony, the Xperia Tablet S, which is kind of an iterative update to the last Sony tablet, the Tablet S we had last year. And we've got that's now, of course, Xperia branded. That's part of the big, you know, the overall one Sony thing which they're pushing. So it's a Tegra 3 tablet, gig of RAM, 1280 by 800 screen. Pretty run of the mill tablet, though it's still got that very unique design where it's like a folded magazine around the back. With the back is aluminium, and you've got the plastic shell, which is sort of textured a little bit differently. It's a nice looking tablet. I always like seeing unconventional stuff. I mean, we both used Sony phones in the past. I mean, what do you think of the T and the TX, Richard?
The T and the TX is definitely what I wish the Arc was way back when. It's got that same sort of feel to it, the same sort of gentle curve on the back. Feels really, really good to hold, but with the with ice cream sandwich, with the on-screen buttons, just it's a really nice device.
Yeah, and they've gone a long way to pleasing to Android purists, if you like. We've got on-screen buttons. You've got a feature which all the custom launchers had, where if you tilt the phone at any time in the launcher, it'll just smoothly flip around and rearrange everything. Build quality is well better than any Sony phone I've used. Some good stuff from Sony. I think maybe some of the splash that they would have made has been sort of dampened by the fact that all this stuff has been leaked over the past 6 months. But we knew what to expect. I don't think Sony's disappointed us. They're back in the game really after the kind of dud that was the Xperia S and the Xperia P, which launched with Gingerbread. Back in the
game. I completely lost. Do they have like 5,000 phones that all have letter names?
Pretty much. Yeah, we had the Xperia
T. Lost. I know what we're talking about. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
how
crazy.
Can I keep the T different from the S, different from the V? Oh my god!
They want to emphasize on Xperia brand. It's like Samsung with the Galaxy brand or whatever. But on the other hand, they are releasing too many phones. Which, even Samsung, when it releases phones, it's not just a Galaxy.
The high definition in Xperia T will make all the details.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's high definition. And it's Xperia T. The name has got to change. This has to stop.
So that was Sony. And we didn't spend a huge amount of time with Sony today. We're going to be going back later in the week. But certainly we'll find out a little bit more about the design and stuff later on. I think the big thing for Sony is going to be getting out into the US market. How is this going to change? Because basically they're irrelevant in the US right now. Even in Europe, the market share isn't huge. So, I think we're going to be looking at seeing what's so great about these devices and how it's going to move them on a bit, because they've never been far off in quality. It's just always been, it's never, the whole experience has never really come together, and they've always missed out in one way or another.
Right.
That's always been the case, though, with Sony, or at least recently, and that's when some analysis has been done that saying Sony is in trouble because of this, that they can't market outside of basically Japan. And so the question whether or not they could be big here in the United States is, you know, pretty pertinent. And it's odd, too, because Sony is such a big brand name, but they've really taken a lot of hits over the last couple of years in all their divisions, and mobile itself is not doing so well either. So hopefully this will do well. They do have a lot of capability, but I'm not really too sure about how, you know, it's a very competitive market. If HTC's having problems, I'm curious how Sony's going to weather this.
Yeah.
Like really, really well, or just kind of not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things he's saying is that, you know, the personnel changes as well. We had Kaz Hirai there today. He's, you know, it's his first year in charge of Sony. We had a new boss at Sony Mobile as well. So they're obviously changing things around, and they're looking to bring all their brands together. So Xperia is the mobile thing, and then you've got Vaio, which is Windows tablets and not necessarily tablets, but tablet-like things. You've got a slider with a keyboard and all that kind of stuff.
So that's Sony, I guess. Is that all of Sony? Trying to keep track of it.
More Sony stuff later in the week. But I mean, the big thing today was Samsung, right? We had the big Samsung Unpacked event today. And it's a good thing we have good thing we have everyone else here, because it's not just Android. We had Harper's Android. We have a lot of Windows Phone stuff as well. But the big stuff for Android was Galaxy Camera and Galaxy Note 2. So,
let's start with the Galaxy Camera, because Dan's a camera guy too, and he can help explain some of this for me and whether or not it.
Actually, I was just wondering. I just want to quickly throw out. I thought the Sony Vaio Cap 20 was pretty big news. The idea of a 20-inch tablet—it's like that's kind of groundbreaking. I thought, and people have always asked about the Surface. I put down quotes because the Surface now is called Pixel Sense. But the idea was back in the day, the big Surface, you know, table was something we all kind of dreamed and wanted. And while this isn't a, you know, isn't that, it approaches that. And so the idea is, if I understand correctly, this is basically a big old screen that you put down for tables. And it kind of allows families and groups of people to almost be using Windows 8 and more of a communal type of experience. It's certainly different. I'm not sure how well it will sell. A lot of it's going to depend, of course, on the price. But I thought that was kind of an interesting addition. The Vaio series, as far as PCs go, has always been, you know, very popular and somewhat groundbreaking. They do some really innovative stuff there. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought that was one of the more interesting aspects of the Sony presentation. But yeah, so let's talk about Samsung at least quickly.
The biggest announcement, I think, for me was the camera. And the camera was the one that got all the biggest reactions from the audience today. The one I think we played most with when we were recording our hands-on today. So it's basically, I mean, the rumors were that it was a Galaxy S3 with a camera stuck on the back of it, and that's basically the case. It's a really nicely built device. You know, you think of Samsung, sometimes you think of maybe cheap, tacky build quality. Not the case at all with this thing. It's got this really sort of...
Oh,
we losing him? Berlin's a long way away.
There it goes. I think he's back now.
Well, Dan, let's just go through the specs real quick, because we got the list sitting in front of us, and that's an easy way to do it. So 16 megapixel camera, sensor, you know, 16.3 effective megapixels. Let me ask you, Dan, everyone makes a big deal about something having BSI, or backside illumination. Doesn't everything have that now?
No, actually, it doesn't. BSI is a technology that Sony, Samsung, Apple, and HTC use. It is... not exactly proprietary, but you have to license it. There is a procedure. It's not just, you know, not everybody's using it. It's still relatively new to the market. And the reason is it's because it's kind of, it's not cost prohibitive anymore, but it was until recently. Now it's, you know, affordable to do so, but it is a more expensive sensor. What people, in case you're wondering what BSI even is, it's backside illumination as opposed to front side illumination. FSI is basically how your eye works. You have the lens in front, and then the receptors, though, are in the back of the eyeball. So light needs to travel through the lens, and it goes through all the blood vessels and aqueous matter before it hits the receptors. It's an odd system to set up like that, because you're putting the light going through stuff, right? A backside illuminated sensor is the same thing. It has sort of the sensor, but then the wires are typically in front of it. And so what this does is it has the wires in back of it. So more light hits the sensor. In term for what the end user experiences is a much brighter picture so that when you're inside in rooms and stuff, you can actually take good photos without using flash, and you get a much better experience. This is why things like the iPhone are so popular, and a lot of Samsung phones have pretty good cameras on them too. So it's a big technology. Samsung uses it even in their point-and-shoot cameras, and it's really good. It's the ideal way to engineer a sensor if you can. So
it's got a 23mm f2.8 lens, 21 mm-hmm. times optical zoom, so that's right. Good. That means it's not going to get all distorted on you. Decent aperture on that, right? F2.8?
Yeah. The optical zoom is going to be really good. And then if you throw digital zoom normally is terrible, and we all try to avoid using it for obvious reasons. Everything gets kind of blocky. But at 16 megapixel, digital zoom actually becomes viable. This is now a good option. You can actually use digital zoom, and it'll actually be nice because you have so many more megapixels to work with that you can actually take good photos. So this is actually overall some pretty nice specs for a camera.
How ridiculous does it to hear that a point-and-shoot camera has a quad-core processor?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
We're getting to this. We're back, by the way. Although I think we're audio only.
Welcome back, guys.
Hello. not sure which point you lost us, but we just talked about how the front is actually really nicely designed. It's got this beautiful matte finish, and it really looks like a high-quality camera from the front, not necessarily a cheap point-and-shoot. It's always really sort of surreal when you see the size of the screen on the back as well, because it almost looks like it's the kind of device that shouldn't exist, because it's like someone cut the back of a camera and just stuck a screen on it.
From the back, it's just all screen.
Yeah.
Well, I'd almost call that the business end instead of the lens, right? So let's talk about this. It's running Android 4.1. So first of all, it's got Jelly Bean. It has the newest version of Android.
Yeah, it's a camera with Jelly Bean, yeah.
How's the interface? Because I'm not sure I'm sold on principle of a camera with a typical Android just icon, and whether it's Android or anything else.
I would call it typical Android.
Really?
So
how is it different?
It's definitely, you start it for the first time, you press the power button, it goes directly into the camera app, and you can, from there, it's got on-screen keys. You can press one of the on-screen keys, or if it's a different setup, there is a virtual button in the top left corner that you press, and that sends you into the home screen view. So it starts off in the camera app as normal, but the home screen is a little bit different. It operates in portrait or landscape. So are we still there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. No, I just had an error message from Skype. Never mind. So the launcher works in any orientation. You've still got all the usual stuff there, but the setup is focused towards apps that allow you to edit video, edit audio, all that kind of stuff.
And then share the content.
Yeah, so
well,
it's almost like the launcher and the whole rest of it is like a back end to what you use it for the most. So, most of the time you're going to see the camera app, and that's a step on from the standard TouchWiz camera app. But, I think it's Android, and, you've got all your Android stuff in there, like Chrome and Gmail and stuff. So if you really wanted to, you could have Google accounts. But there's nothing forcing you to do that, and I think it's just there for the sake of not removing functionality.
Let's talk about the display for a second, because it's huge and it's beautiful.
It is. It's a 4.8 inch super LCD display, 1280 by 720, I believe. So it's same resolution as the S3, different screen setup for whatever reason. I guess they figure it's going to be better for outdoor shots and stuff. It's going to be easier to see in bright light. It's nice. It's difficult to tell the difference between that and Super AMOLED, but it is very vibrant, very bright. It's a good screen. I'd like to, be perfectly happy seeing this on a smartphone or any device.
There's just two things I'm curious. Well, I was going to bring up at least. One is the size of the sensor. I didn't see the specs yet for the actual size, because although the rest of the specs are really good, the actual size of the sensor is going to be sort of also what determines the quality of the photos. And so it depends on, if it's going to be a small sensor or a big sensor. The other thing is, I'm going to bring up the elephant in the room, which is this is obviously trying to compete with Nokia's PureView 808, which is not much of a competition because the 808 is barely being sold through carriers. And let's be honest, it's not, you know, it's on Symbian, which is sort of a dying system anyway. But the real issue here is the fact that Nokia is big with cameras and their PureView technology, which we're expecting to be a whole line, is, you know, something that Windows Phone will be pushing big time. Now, the PureView 808 has a 41 megapixel sensor, and we actually have an image on the site comparing it to the Samsung's Galaxy S3 sensor, and it's literally an eighth of the size, and it's really tiny. It goes to show you, well, you know, how much bigger this sensor really is. So I think it's kind of obvious here that Samsung is at least trying now to go head-to-head with Nokia in this notion of a camera that's also a phone as opposed to phones with cameras in them. And the question is, you know, how will this sell? Now, this device is interesting because it really is, like you said, like it's like someone took a camera, cut it in half, and put a phone on one side. But, you know, is it going to be too big and bulky for the average user, or is this going to be sort of a niche market?
Well, we should make an important point that this isn't a phone. You can't use it as a phone.
Oh, okay. You can't use it as a phone. So this is just
It's data only.
Yeah, data only. There's no ambient light sensor, no microphone, you know, for calls. There's obviously mics for video recording.
That's just weird. I don't know. I mean, I could see, like, why they would do that, but at the same time, you know. I don't know. That's definitely an interesting twist. Now, to tie this in a little bit, we just speculated on Windows Phone Central that next week Nokia will be showing off. Yeah. Nokia next week will be showing off their new Lumia phone, which is expected to have 41 megapixels, but it presumably will be 16 to 20 megapixels, maybe, you know, in between there. So, but that's an actual phone with a camera, so it's going to be, you know, technically a different market. But it's an interesting use of Android, which always goes to show its strengths, right? That it's flexible and can be adapted to basically any kind of technology. So the ability to install that software and have quick access to your same accounts is something that's impressive.
Well, the interesting thing is Samsung's already done the hard work for the software on this, and it's been in the S3 and the Note, the video editing, the photo editing, all the sharing stuff with NFC and Wi-Fi Direct. That was all in the S3. That was stuff they already had, and it's a surprisingly easy jump to just take that technology, put a better camera behind it, and, you know, you've suddenly got a very compelling multimedia sharing Wi-Fi enabled, 3G and 4G enabled camera.
Right.
What else am I going to do with this besides, I mean, can I play games? That was the big thing about the Nokia one, or the Nikon camera that was just announced, right? It's like you can pretty much do anything else on it that you want as well. Is it look locked down or anything? Or
locked down and I doubt it. I wouldn't assume it would be locked down any more than any other Samsung device, so you should be able to plug it into.
Well, Phil wants to know is, can you play Angry Birds on this?
Yes, that's the important thing.
Yeah, you can.
It's a new will it play Doom question of 2012.
Yeah.
Do you want one? Are you going to buy one? Are you going to make me buy you one?
No, but I am intrigued by it.
Use it up front, you want one. I want this more than I want a Galaxy Note 2.
Really?
Samsung.
But I also don't know how much it's going to cost.
That is the other question. We don't know what the pricing is yet. And I think what they said today was it was some roundabout term they used, but it was something like it would be of the level of a premium point-and-shoot camera.
See, Samsung does have a premium point-and-shoot camera that should have been out now. It's still a couple days delayed, called the EX2F. It's a sequel to the EX1, which came out 2-3 years ago. And that's the camera I'm going to be getting because it has an f1.4 lens, which is really impressive. So for me, that's $500. For me, that's pretty much one of the best point and shoots you can get in the market besides the Panasonic Lumix that's coming out. It has the same aperture. So it would have to be at least $100 cheaper, in my opinion. Otherwise, I think
you're probably looking at 500-ish. That sounds about right for this sort of product. Don't forget, it's not just the camera technology. You've got you've got a quad-core processor in there as well, and you've got 4G.
Okay, yeah. But the Samsung's own EX2F has Wi-Fi built in, and it hooks up to an Android phone, too, with their own software, so you can just transport your photos that way or sync up at home. So, you know, they're already kind of doing that stuff. So I would have to kind of weigh out the cost benefit to see, you know, it'll be really interesting. I think a lot of this will be dependent on price, how successful it is, but certainly an interesting experiment, at least for them.
Yeah. And it's the most compelling device of this type that we've seen. I mean, but I think maybe it was CES this year. We saw a very early prototype of an Android camera. We had this Nikon thing as well. But this, you know, this is the latest version of Android. We've got, you know, an actual use for all the stuff in there, sharing, video editing, all that stuff, top of the line hardware on the smartphone side with the CPU in there. So it's, I think this is going to be the device to beat in this category when it, I'm sure we'll see it developed over the next 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. Galaxy Note 2. It's big. It's a Note 2. It kind of looks like the Galaxy S3, only bigger.
It looks a lot like the Galaxy S3. I was looking at the photos, some of the photos that we took today of the Note 2, and really, from the right angle, it is identical to the S3. Really is. It's only when you get into the functionality and the, you know, stuff around the back and the S Pen that you start to see the differences. I guess even in terms of internals, it's kind of the same. You've got a slightly clocked up CPU. You've got 2 gigs of RAM. 3G, 4G, I think it's 8 megapixel camera on the back. We'll have to double check that, though. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, same resolution screen, 720p. So it's actually slightly lower resolution than the first Note, although they've you kind of have to deal with that because you've changed the aspect ratio to 16:9. So that's the other big change. It's now a widescreen device, which they say is, intends to make it easier to pocket. So yeah, that's hardware wise is the Note 2, and the biggest things that, you know, that Samsung was showing off today is all based around software and the S Pen.
Right. So talk a lot about the S Pen.
Yeah,
a lot about the S Pen.
Richard, you saw the Note for the first time when it was launched in the UK back in October last year. Has this made a better impression on you than that?
A little bit. I mean, it's. I mean, the pen itself feels a little bit more like an actual pen rather than just a, you know, like a little stylus. It's taller, it's thicker. There's a little bit of texture on the side, and it feels
the button that you press has actually now got a couple of ridges on it, so you can actually feel where it is. Because the problem with the original was always that you would never know what the button was. You'd have to actually stop and look at the thing to work out where it was to do gestures. Mm-hmm. So there's that. They've also replaced the tip of the S Pen, so I think it's some rubberized kind of thing now where it gives a slightly nicer motion on the screen when you're using it. What else do we have? We've got it actually detects the pen from a distance now. What that does, in any app, you get a little cursor that appears when you're hovering over, and you can do all kinds of cool things with that. In the gallery app, you can hover over a folder and it'll bring up a small preview of what's inside. You can hover over calendar events and it'll show you the full description. So I mean, it may be a little bit gimmicky, but it's a use of that technology, and it's a side effect of the technology that they use for the screen, and that it detects where it is in relation to it. So it can detect it when it is just over the screen.
What about, I'm trying to think, did any of the leaks we saw, the leaks, I say with air quotes, did any of those match up to what was actually announced today?
The images, absolutely not. The specs, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, the specs, sure, it's a smartphone.
I mean, I could have guessed the specs, but no, the actual images were all pretty much wide of the mark, which
Alex
is interesting.
I forgot. Alex had a little break exclusive last week where he said, we'll be getting Jelly Bean on the Galaxy S3. Or it was on the GS3, right? About the same time?
Yeah.
Is it happening? I didn't hear anything announced.
Wasn't announced. We'll see it. I mean, it's finalized now. We'll see it land in the next few days, I would imagine. Okay. I mean, they had enough announcements today. They actually announced Jelly Bean for the Note and the Note 10.1 as well.
Right.
Coming soon. I mean, it's there, it's finalized. The finalized builds are being approved by carriers now. So it's going to be, if it wasn't announced today, maybe the final build wasn't ready, but it's going to be a matter of days.
I hold everybody else's feet to the fire, so it's only fair that I hold yours as well. you want to talk about some of the Windows stuff that they announced today? And it's a lot of stuff and a lot of big stuff and kind of confusing a little bit if you're not as deep into the space as Dan is, because you've got Windows 8, you've got Windows Phone 8, you've got Windows 8 RT.
Yeah, there's a lot of name branding going on over here. So it looks like they have quite a few devices. And this whole name of Ative, Am I pronouncing that right? Sounds like a zero carb sugar substitute. I'm not really sold on this name, but at least it's different, so I'll give them that. And they seem to be sticking to it as a whole line of stuff. But let's see, they have the Ativ Tab, which is a 10.1-inch tablet design that's coming out. 13x66x768, 1.5 dual gigahertz CPU, 5 megapixel rear camera. Nothing stands out as being extraordinary from them, but they are nice devices. As I said, Samsung always makes nice laptops. They've always had the Series 9 has been very popular, a very thin brushed metal look to them. And this looks like a continuation of that. They have the Smart PC, the Smart PC Pro, which has it's a convertible, so the screen can sort of, you know, flip around. It's certainly some nice hardware from them. Nothing I said like, you know, revolutionary. It's typical Samsung, so I think it's good, but I'm a little bit more excited to see if Nokia is going to still do a tablet, which I think is what everybody's sort of waiting for. And so that's sort of big news. But I think, Windows 8 is going to be, I think, big for Microsoft and the OEMs. And I think these are, you know, pretty solid devices. I don't know. Did you guys get to play with them at all? Do we still have them?
Hey, British guys. Nope. We lost them.
I guess they didn't like what I had to say. These are nice tablets. We'll be seeing more, of course. Asus released some stuff too, or announced some new devices coming out. So they're all Asus, Acer. They're all coming out with tablets and such devices. It's going to be, the question is, who's going to have something that departs the most radically and is really inspiring. I'm not sure these fit that bill, despite how nice they will be. That's my opinion. The big news for us, though, at least, was the Windows Phone news, the Ativ S, which was formerly known as the Odyssey. That was its code name, apparently. It's basically, as far as I can tell, a Galaxy S3, just with Windows Phone 8 slapped on it. That's pretty much what we've been expecting. We heard months ago that's exactly what they're going to do. The Windows Phone community is certainly mixed on that because we want different devices than what Android has. But having said that, Galaxy S3 is a solid device, and it sells well.
If you've got to have, you know, play second fiddle there, that's not a bad phone to do it with by any stretch of the imagination. Right.
And Samsung does need to keep costs down, and, you know, the fact is Windows Phone 8 doesn't make money yet, so it seems odd for them to have to invest a lot of money into R&D for a completely new design when they can sort of recycle what they have for Android. Having said that, I'm not sure that strategy will necessarily work out for them. The Focus S that came out last year was an excellent device, it was basically off of the Galaxy S2, super thin, good battery, great screen, and it didn't sell. Kind of blows my mind because it was a really great phone. So it remains to be seen if the Ativ S can also sell, but it looks like this will at least be more widely available. They didn't announce any carriers, but since it was announced at IFA, they're going to, you know, more likely go worldwide this time.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's par for the course.
We should mention, too, the Ativ S wasn't actually there today. We're not sure if it'll be in Samsung's booth later in the week. We'll have to wait and see. Or whether it's being held back ahead of Nokia World.
Yeah, my guess because of that is Windows Phone 8 technically isn't finalized, and so they probably didn't want to have it, or they were going to show you wouldn't be able to touch it kind of thing, right? So that seems to be the status of those devices yet. But I think the Ativ is nice. Now, for our U.S. residents, it's rumored to be going to T-Mobile. I think AT&T will skip on this, although AT&T has been a big customer of Samsung, so who knows. But it's a solid phone, 4.8 inch, super HD AMOLED with Gorilla Glass 2. Comes at 16 gigabytes or 32 with both of the expandable micro SD NFCs. All the bells and whistles is the same Android device. Nice phone. Audience, like I said, it's a little bit mixed on it, but with the brushed aluminum back, you know. Now, the Galaxy S3 has a brushed aluminum back too, correct? Or some of them do?
It has a hyperglaze textured back.
Okay.
Hyperglaze meaning plastic.
And what's nice about this, too, it also has a massive battery. I believe it's somewhere in the realm of 2,300 milliamps. Wow. Somewhere around.
I think the S3 has 2,100.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it has a bigger battery than the S3, that's kind of a big deal. Because you combine that with... I assume it's an S4 in there, the CPU. You combine it with that. right. And suddenly you're going to get a really great battery performance out of this device.
Yeah, this should be coming with the S4 1.5 dual-core CPU. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had tests, obviously, of Windows Phone 8 and battery life, but Microsoft has been really a stickler for battery life recently. And both Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 have been going through a lot of tests we hear for battery performance. Windows Phone already does get extremely good battery, partly because it doesn't truly multitask like Android does. But there's some also retooling going on there. So it'll be interesting to see how it makes use of that extra capacity that would make it the largest battery in any Windows phone on the market currently. And that's pretty impressive considering how thin that is. But of course, Samsung gets away with that because their bodies are so thin that it's basically a battery that has a phone wrapped around it. You can almost describe it as. So interesting stuff, though. You know, we'll see how Samsung can fare with this.
Mm. And we should mention we're not done with Samsung this week by a long shot. Tomorrow morning we've got the Samsung International Press Conference at the Mesa down the road from here. And we were kind of wondering to ourselves what more they can show.
I mean, especially now, what's it going to be? Because
yeah, I was
kinda, we all kind of knew the camera was coming, but what's left?
Galaxy S3 Jelly Bean, calling it right now.
Press conference just for that.
Gee, I mean, look, they did every. All right, I'm thinking maybe they'll show off that 5.8-inch player, but I mean
EFA is all just mobile tech. We got TVs and stuff.
They showed off the TV today.
Sony showed off the TV. Yeah, they did. Yeah. The 8K model.
Yeah.
By the way, so TV awesome. We saw that very briefly. On the subject of TVs, nothing on Google TV yet, and that's another possibility with Samsung and Sony. We'll have to go and take a look at some of that.
Windows around. Phone, RT, TV? No?
No, don't think so.
Cool. All right, anything else? Should we let you guys get to bed?
I think we're about done here. A lot of stuff to to take in today. I think we're still collecting our thoughts on a lot of it. We'll be back with more Samsung and Sony stuff later in the week. We're done with the bigger announcements now. I think the rest of the week is going to be maybe smaller devices here and there, and of course more detail on the ones we saw today. So
good deal. Richard, Alex, thank you. Dan, thank you for joining us. Maybe we'll do another podcast tomorrow. We'll see what gets announced.
Sounds very good.
Yeah,
guys.
Over under, more stuff tomorrow or less stuff tomorrow than today? What do you think?
Say again?
Do you think there's going to be more stuff announced tomorrow than there was today or less stuff?
Probably not. I think today's about as crazy as it's going to get.
Today is the big day.
We'll have more sort of detailed stuff on Sony and Samsung tomorrow, I think, from what we've got planned. So, the big announcements today, I don't think we're going to get anything that tops, three new Sony phones, a tablet, all this Windows Phone stuff, and the Note and the camera. I think that's our big stuff for this year.
Yeah, and I think we're done for Windows Phone. I'll be surprised if there's any more announcements this week at IFA, but, if there is, hopefully you guys will be there to get it for us. So.
Yeah, maybe some of the Huawei or someone like that. Or possibly.
Yeah, Huawei, they're supposed to have a couple devices, but so who knows if they'll be there. That'd be kind of cool if they show something. So.
Sweet. Cool. All right, well, thank you all for everybody listening, for joining us live, and if you're listening to it recorded, slackers, but that's okay too. So check back. Dan, where can we find all your cool Windows Phone stuff that you do?
Well, of course, you can find us at WPCentral.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Daniel_Rubino, and we have a very busy day, so make sure you head to our site to catch up on all the news today. It's lots and lots of stuff is coming out, both for Nokia and Samsung, and some Microsoft dates that have just been released too for October. So some big breaking news going on our site.
Awesome. Alex and Richard, you can find them at Android Central. You can find them on Google Plus. Just search for the names. Go to androidcentral.com/IFA/EFA for all the EFA news. And that's it. We'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Take care, bye.
See ya.
Goodbye.